Parsha Shmos, June 5th, 2007. Okay, what I wanted to talk about this week, of course, is the famous week of the Meraglim, the spies who went out to check out the land of Israel before the Jewish people proceeded there. And we all, of course, know about the slanderous report which they brought back and the disastrous results for the Jewish people that that resulted in. That part of the story we know. I'm sure you have heard many, many years worth of discussions on what happened and why and what they were thinking. The story how Yehoshua and Kalev, two of the 12, were able to withstand the others. Sorry about that, that's me.
Okay.
Yeah. And if I'm not saying anything, if I'm saying something wrong, I get kicked under the table. So we know how that's been very well documented, and I'm sure you've heard that before. There's, I'm sure, more to say, but I want to focus on something else today. What I want to focus on is after all of this, after they come back, and Yehoshua and Kalev try to tell the people to reject the reports of the other 10 spies, to accept the fact that Hashem has told the Jewish people this is the land that we will inherit, we will be able to conquer it and take it as ours. And the people shout down Kalev, they shout down Yehoshua, they're not interested, and they end it in a mass hysteria. At that point, Hashem says, you know what, I really just had it with all of these people. We have been Pasuk, let's start with Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11 on page 804-805. How long will these people continue to provoke me, he says? How long will they not have faith in me after all that I've done for them, all the miracles? We're now only in the second year in the desert. After all that I've done, after all leaving Egypt, they should still remember these things. So Hashem says, how long will this go on? I have really had it. Akenu ba'dever va'orishenu. I will simply strike them, smite them with the plague, and annihilate them. And make you into a greater and more powerful nation than they. So here Hashem says, this is the end. I promised Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that there will be a people, a Jewish people, who will inherit the land of Israel, who I will eventually give my Torah to. I'm not going to renege on that promise. What I'm simply going to do is I'm going to take this mass of people and say, you have failed me over and over again. I am done. You're out. And you, Moshe, who are yourself descended from Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I will make a great nation out of you, thereby fulfilling my promise to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I'm not reneging on that. But these people, I am done with, no longer, I'm ready to destroy and annihilate them. So that is the result of these, of the report of the spies. So what I want to focus on today, what I want to learn with you a little bit inside, this will be a little bit textual, and we'll cover some, what I think are some very interesting points, is Moshe's response. The tefillah, the prayer, the supplication that Moshe then responds to this with. So we've heard about the reports. Hashem has decided, that's it, he's ready to destroy them, and Moshe intercedes on behalf of the Jewish people. So what I'd like to learn is learn for a little bit some of the psukim inside. We'll learn a number of Rambans and others to understand some of the points of Moshe's response and how he was able to successfully navigate this, in which Hashem has basically said, I'm done. I want to destroy this Jewish people. I want to make you into a nation. And we'll start from there. Interesting to note, of course, in Moshe's response that he wasn't interested in that deal. He wasn't interested in having himself survive, his children become a great and powerful nation. And all right, the Jewish people, Moshe is our quintessential leader of the Jewish people, and he basically says, no deal. I'm not interested in your saying you're going to destroy these people and you'll make me into a nation. I want these people. And he intercedes on our behalf. And let's learn a little bit what he does. I think we can basically break down his response into three parts, which we'll learn as such. And we will then tackle it. So let's learn a little bit how Moshe responds to this. Okay, setup is clear. We were up to as far as what's taken place so far and what Hashem has declared his intentions as Moshe begins speaking. So Moshe begins in Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. Vayomer Moshe el Hashem. Moshe begins with a fascinating response. Here you have a Jewish people who have failed Hashem yet again, a God who is angry, ready to destroy them, and Moshe's response is, boy, what are the Egyptians going to say when they hear about this? Can you imagine, God, he says to Hashem, they're going to be talking about you, Look what they're going to say. Fascinating response. So you have the Jewish people where they are, Hashem ready to destroy them, and that's where Moshe comes in with. Number verse 13. Vayomer Moshe Hashem, v'shamu Mitzrayim, ki eliso v'choy chacho esom hazet mikirbo. The Egyptians, the people of Mitzrayim, from whose midst you brought up this nation with great power, that nation you left behind, decimated by your 10 plagues after an entire year of affliction, they're going to hear about this. V'amr, you know what they're going to say? El Yoyishev Ha'aretz Hazos, they're going to say, as Rashi learns, on this people, the people of the 31 nations living in the land of Israel, Shavu Ki Ato Hashem V'Kerev Ha'am Hazeh, they're going to be saying about you that the nations who live in this land, they know that you, Hashem, are in the midst of the people. Asher Ayin Ba'ayin Nir Ato Hashem, and that you have appeared eye to eye to the people. And your cloud stands upon them, and you travel with them in this pillar of cloud. Moshe launches into this whole description. The people know about this. They know that you travel in the midst of the people. They know that you have your pillar of cloud that travels with them by day, a pillar of fire at night. They know all that. And yet, after all that, after all the miraculous events, after all the great and mighty hand that you've shown, you smote and wiped out this entire nation like one person, just knocked them all out. So what? The Omru Hagoyim Asher Shamu Eshim Acha Leimor, and the nations that have heard about your fame, they will say, Mi Bilti Yecholas Hashem Lehavi Es Ha'am Hazeh El Ha'aretz Asher Nishba Lohem. It was because Hashem lacked the ability to take them into the land of Eretz Yisrael that he had to destroy them in the wilderness. So he just killed them off. Couldn't do it. Says Moshe to Hashem, that's what they're going to say, you know? They're going to say, you couldn't do it. You couldn't handle it. You, this mighty God, who led the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, who smote the Egyptians for an entire year with plague after plague after plague, sustained them in the desert, provided them man, gave them the Torah, provided them with the well, led them with the cloud. But you know what? When it came down to it, and you have to enter, bring them into the land of Israel, you ran out of steam. You couldn't do it. That's what they're going to say. Says Moshe to Hashem, they're simply going to say that. Let's look at Rashi, how Rashi learns his argument. Rashi in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Veshamu Mitzrayim, it's the beginning of the second column there in your Rashi, page 84, if you want to follow inside. Veshamu Es Asher Tahargim, they're going to hear how you killed them off, and they're going to say, the second line down, Ukashishmu, and when they hear, Sha'ata Hargim, that you killed them off, Lo Yomru Shechatu Lucha, they're not going to say, oh, you know why the Jewish people were killed off? It's because they sinned. The New York Times headline is going to say, mass slaughter in the desert, 3 million Jews found dead. No one's going to comment and say, wow, they must have really angered their God. They're not going to say that, Moshe claims to Hashem. Ela yomru shekinegdom yecholos lihilochem. The op-eds are going to say, ha, against the Egyptians, God had power. Against the Egyptians, God was able to take them out. Aval keneged yoshvei ha'aretz. But those who dwell in the land of Israel, lo yecholas lihilochem. No ability, no strength, no power. The headlines are going to be screaming, can't you see it now, Hashem, says Moshe. That's his first argument. Fascinating argument that Moshe comes to him and says, you can't kill these people. Nothing to do with these people, nothing to do with me. You can't kill them because the headlines are going to scream, the nations of the world are going to say, you lack the power, you lack the ability to be able to take these Jews and bring them into the land of Israel.
So God cares what people think.
Oh, so we're going to have to discuss what kind of argument this is. We're going to have to discuss. Apparently. That's our first stop, is that we simply have... So argument number one that Moshe says is, God, look at what they're going to say. They're going to say, Mibli Yecholas Hashem, because you lack the ability. Now, I want to read you a Ramban. The Ramban takes issue. If we just read, as we've seen so far in Rashi, it sounds like God cares what they think. And if you have to put it into your own words, then what really is the essence of this argument? The essence of the argument is exactly as we've been saying. You can't do it. You don't have the power. Yeah, I'll read you another Rashi. Rashi in Pasuk Tezayin. It's the first Rashi in the second, and the first Rashi, first line, first column of page 806. Rashi says, why are they going to say you don't have the strength? Rashi says, the people who dwell in the land of Israel, they are strong. They are a mighty group of nations. Paro is one nation, one king. Yeah, sure, you could beat up on one little guy in Paro in Egypt, but to take on 31 kings in the land of Israel, can't do it. So it sounds like from Rashi, the argument of Moshe, which is Mibli Yecholas, if you don't have the argument, is an argument of, they're going to say you're weak. They're going to say you're not all-powerful. They're going to say you ran into your match when you hit the 31 nations of the land of Israel. One guy you can handle, but throw 31 at him, and God crumbles. That, Moshe says, is what they're going to say in the headlines of the newspapers, and we can't have that. Now, the Ramban takes issue with Rashi's interpretation, because in Rashi's interpretation, the argument of the nations of the world are going to make it, you're weak. That's what they're saying to God. The Ramban takes issue, the Ramban says that they're going to say you're weak, says the Ramban. I'll read it to you inside as we translate. Says our ein hakavana leMoshe b'taina hazos. It's not Moshe's intention to say that they were too strong, as Rashi commented, that the people of the world are going to say, God, you didn't have the power. Ki Hashem ihikas Mitzrayim b'dever. Hashem, he knocked out all of Mitzrayim. Hemes b'choreihem b'rega, in a moment, knocked off every firstborn in the land of Egypt, pinpointed exactly which ones at the exact same moment, all of them dropped dead. He says, is it possible that anyone's going to make an argument that there's a difference between one nation and 31 nations? You're going to make an argument in strength? So the Ramban takes issue that the interpretation of Moshe's intention was that when, again, Moshe's words are, Mibli yicholes, you lack the ability. Rashi's interpretation of you lack the ability is, you don't have the strength, you couldn't do it. So Moshe says, can't be. No one's going to say that. That's ridiculous. After all that he did in Mitzrayim, there should be no difference between one paro and 31 paros. Aval ha-kavona b'tfila hazos le'mor. You know what the kavona is, says the Ramban? Yechashvu Mitzrayim v'yomru. What the Egyptians are going to say, the headlines will scream, ki yesh koach ve'elohei kina'an lahatzil miyodcha. The gods of Kina'an have more power. You're powerful. Look at what you were able to do. Says the Ramban, Moshe's intention isn't to say that they're going to say, you lack power. They're going to say, those gods of Israel, which was in the lands of Canaan, they must be all-powerful. Yeah, against the Egyptian gods, he was able to do it. It's the Canaanite gods which were able to protect the people of Canaan. V'hine yiyeh bozeh chilul Hashem. And in that, we will create a tremendous chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name. V'yichazku yidei ovdei avodah zarah. It will strengthen the hands of those who worship idols. So it's a different spin, the Ramban says. The same argument. In both cases, Moshe's words are the same. Moshe's words are, you can't kill these people, because if you kill these people, they're going to say you couldn't do it. Which element of the fact that you couldn't do it is Moshe's argument focused on? So Rashi learns, it sounds like they're just going to say you're just simply weak. You just couldn't handle it. One king you can do, 31 you couldn't. The Ramban has a different twist on it. What they're going to say that you couldn't do it is that the gods of Canaan were so powerful that you couldn't take them on, and the Chilul Hashem will be in that they'll be dancing through the streets praising their gods that they were able to defend the people there from the God of Israel. So it's not so much that the nations were too strong, that the Ramban says can't be, but that the gods of those nations were too strong. But either way, that is part one of Moshe's response, which his argument is one which, as Elaine has pointed out, is an odd thing. Aren't you going to care about the newspapers, God? You know what they're going to be screaming, and that's not going to look good. But that is argument number one. Fascinating argument. That's point number one. So far, so good?
Mm-hmm.
Let us move on. Continues Moshe in verse 17, Pasuk Yud Zayin. This is, I was just going to know, section two of his argument. Ve'atah, and now he says, Yigdal no koyach Hashem. May the strength of you, Hashem, be magnified. Let your strength become great. May you strengthen yourself. Kasher dibarta, as you have once spoken to me, saying. So now Moshe launches into section number two. He says, I want your strength to become great as you have spoken to me. What strength is Moshe referring to when he says, strengthen yourself, God, as you have spoken to me? So he's referring to the 13 attributes that Moshe was taught at the previous sin, the first of our series of sins, which was the sin of the golden calf. When the Jewish people sinned with the golden calf, and Hashem also there wanted to wipe them out, so Hashem teaches Moshe the Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 attributes, which I have for you here on your right-hand side of your page. And so Moshe now invokes those in section 2 of his plea. So first he says, God, you can't kill them. What are they going to say about you? And after he finishes that, he says, now I want you, God, strengthen yourself, make yourself great with that which you have spoken to me, and what is that? And then he launches into some of the 13 midos. Pasuk Yud Ches, Hashem, Erech Apayim, of slow to anger, V'rav Chesed, abundant in kindness, no say Avon, V'fosha, V'nake, Lo Yinake, you will pardon iniquity and sin, does not completely cleanse, okay, Avon Avos, Avonim, Yal Shilishim, Arminu, and will forgive the, does not recall the iniquity of parents upon their children to the third and fourth generations when the children continue in their parents' ways. So he invokes the list of the 13 attributes. Now you'll notice, as I have hopefully made very clear to you on this sheet, that he does not invoke all of them. He has a select list of 6 of the 13 that Moshe has over here. Hashem, and then he skips to Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed, Nosi Avon, V'fasha V'nakei. So we will talk about this as well. But in section 2 of Moshe's argument, he invokes a partial list of the 13 attributes of mercy, as we call them, in saving the Jewish people. And then part 3, a one-liner in Pasuk Yates, you can debate whether or not this is the conclusion of part 2, but it doesn't matter. He then has a specific request. Verse 19, Slachna la'avon ha'om hazeh kegodol chasdecha. He demands, forgive now the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your kindness. Techasher nasasa lo'om hazeh mi'mitzrayim v'adheinu. And as you have done many times since we left Mitzrayim, since we've left Egypt, you have continuously done so. Moshe therefore says, you can't, again, filling up what he's done, you can't kill him. What's everybody going to say? Invoke the 13 midos which you have taught me. What was his language? Yigdal na'koyach Hashem. May your strength be magnified with these traits. And then he comes with a specific request and he says, Slach na la'avon ha'mazeh. You'll maybe familiar with that language. It's from the Yom Kippur service. We say it many, many times over and over again throughout Slichos and Yom Kippur. Slach no la'avoin ha'om hazeh kegodol chazdecha. Forgive the iniquity of these people according to the greatness of your kindness, as you have done many times. End of Moshe's plea. Again, I myself have broken it up into the 3 different parts. You could disagree or agree. I think it's fairly safe to say. Those are his arguments. And it results in verse 20, Vayomer Hashem, Salachti Kidvarecha. Hashem says, I have forgiven you because of your words. Salachti Kidvarecha. And again, this is hopefully familiar to us again from Slichos and from Yom Kippur. This dialogue between Moshe and Hashem is repeated. We invoke this all the time, in which Moshe begs for our forgiveness, and Hashem says, Salachti kidvarecha. I have forgiven them. I have forgiven because of your words. Now, the question that I would like to put out as we then begin addressing the 2 parts of Moshe's plea, when Hashem responds in that way and he says, Salachti kidvarecha, he's clearly saying, I'm forgiving them because of something that you have said. That's his word. Salachti kidvarecha. I've forgiven them because of your words. Now, I have conveniently set you up by breaking down Moshe's words into 3 component parts. Which one, if any, of the 3 is Hashem referring to? It could be all 3, but I would just give you a hint that it's probably not. Which one of Moshe's words is Hashem referring to when he says, Moshe, you've done good. You've spoken well on behalf of your people. I have forgiven them because of your words. Which words is Moshe referring to? That's the question that I will throw out. Again, there are three parts to Moshe's sentence. He opens up again with, you can't do it, what are they going to say about you? Then he invokes the Yigimel Midos, and then he says, he just comes out straight and says it, Slachno la'avon ha'am hazeh, forgive the iniquity of these people. Hashem says, I'll do it because you asked. Slach v'kiz v'racha. Okay, ready to tackle this? Let's start with the second section of Moshe's plea, in which he invokes these Yigimel Midos, and as you have noticed, it is not complete. He does not go with all of them. Okay, two points that I want to share with you. Number one is a fascinating Rashi, and then I want to get to this point of why 6 of the 13. First thing is a fascinating Rashi, which is not part of the whole thing we're talking about today, but it's just so fascinating, it's worth mentioning. So we'll just put it in parentheses. In verse Yudches, Pasuk Yudches, verse 18, Rashi comments as follows. Hashem erech apayim. Hashem is slow to anger. Erech apayim. So Rashi comments, la tzadikim ule rishoyim. You are slow to anger both for the righteous and for the wicked. Then Rashi records a medrash as to what's the meaning behind that. Kisha'ola Moshe l'marom, when Moshe went up to the heavens, Matsu Moshe l'akolish baruch hu shoya yoyshev v'koysev Hashem erech apayim. Moshe's up on Har Sinai 40 days, 40 nights, writing down the Torah, and Hashem writes that Hashem is an erech apayim. He is slow to anger. Amar lo l'tzadikim. Moshe says, for the righteous, right? You're slow to anger for the righteous. That the righteous do something wrong, and instead of striking them down immediately with some form of a punishment, so you're slow to anger. You'll give them a chance. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no. Af l'rishayim. Even though you, Moshe, would not like to see it that way, you, with the midah of din, of justice, would say, the righteous deserve, that you should be slow to anger, but the wicked, give it to them. So it's Hashem, no, that's not, no, I'm not like that. Slow to anger, not just for the righteous, but for the wicked as well. Amalo Rishoyim Yovedu says, why should that be? The Rishoyim should be destroyed. They're a desecration of your name. They are against everything that you created the world for. Amal Kodesh Baruch Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, relax. Relax, he says, Chayecha Shatat Tzorech L'davar. You're going to one day need this idea here. Because when the Jewish people sin by the Chet Ha'Egel, by the golden calf, and by the spies of this week's parsha, his palo Moshe lefonov be'erech apayim. Moshe invoked that phrase and said, "You're slow to anger." Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, v'halo amartu li latzadikim. Didn't you, Moshe, tell me that I should only invoke that attribute for the righteous? That I should only invoke this idea of being slow to anger for the righteous? Your people aren't righteous. Moshe says, I know, but didn't you teach me that it applies even for the wicked? So Rashi is addressing the language of the Torah in which it says, Kasher dibart leimor. Magnify your strength the way that you spoke to me, saying, Erech apayim. So the sages are picking up on what it means as we've had this conversation. So Rashi records this idea that this mid of Erech apayim, we'll see this will be more relevant than I even introduced it as, this idea of being Erech apayim, of being slow to anger, which Hashem teaches Moshe, my midah, my traits, the attribute of being slow to anger applies both to the righteous and to the wicked, and you, Moshe, as much as you might think that the wicked should be cut down right away, you'll eventually invoke this as well, both by the golden calf and by the spies of this week's parsha, that we should be slow to, I should be slow to anger, not only by the wicked, but by the righteous as well. Okay, now, we'll get back to that. What's with this abbreviated list? Why does Moshe not invoke the entirety of the list? He invokes 6 of the 13 when he begs for our forgiveness. So the Ramban comments on this, and the Ramban has what to say. Yes.
That's a cool question.
Sure.
The fact that he speaks to Hashem and asks Hashem in the Yod Kei Vav Kei, doesn't that also say that he, isn't that really 7 arguments? Isn't the Rachamim included in that one? because he's not speaking to Hashem as the God of Being, as Elohim. So I'm wondering, isn't there like another argument just included, inherent in the...
Where are you?
He speaks to Hashem.
You're talking in Pasuk Yud Zayin?
Like Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, Chanum. Just like in the argument, just by saying Yud Kei Vav Kei,
That's fair, but the issue that I'm focusing on is that in Pasuk Yud Zayin, he introduces the Midos. And he says, "Va'atol yigdal na koyach Hashem, magnify your strength, kasher dibarto le, as you have told me, saying." So when he says that, like, you have taught me saying, it sounds like he's going to go into what he was taught. And from that point on, he only lists 6 of the 13.
Shouldn't it be the second Hashem rather than the first?
Why?
Because it's after the people had sinned.
Okay, yeah, I was going to, yes, that's where we'll get to that. Okay, hold on to that thought. Okay. So, we'll start with that thought, because the Ramban starts from beyond that. So, the Mefarshim explained, I forgot where I saw this, that as Dina, maybe I'll attribute it to Dina. So, as Dina comments, the first two words of Hashem and Hashem, Chazal understand to mean merciful before one has sinned, and merciful after one has sinned. So he only invokes one name of Hashem because he's specifically here referring to after the sin has taken place. So to invoke that first midah of Hashem, which is a reference to Hashem's relationship with the Jewish people before we have sinned, is no longer applicable. And therefore, it's really only a reference to the second. So if you're drawing your boxes again, it technically that Hashem should be placed in the second box and not in the first box. So that's the correct point. That's why that's left off. Let's start with then Ramban. Ramban picks off and then says, "V'hizkir b'midos erech apayim v'rav chesed." Why does Moshe then open up with midos, what is that, 5 and 6? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7. Why does he open up with erech apayim v'rav chesed, being slow to anger and abundant in kindness? Because that we certainly need here. That's obvious. Doesn't need to be said why he chose those, right? Because we want him to be slow to anger. We want him to use his attribute of being abundant in kindness. But he doesn't then continue with midah number 8, that of truth. Keep a midah's MS, iyu chayavim. If we would be using the midah of truth, we would actually have very little to say. We would all be in trouble, shall we say. He then skips the following midah of the preserver of kindness for many generations, because that is an attribute which really is rooted in the kindness that Hashem shows to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And because of the kindness that he shows to them, or that they have earned, he's a preserver of kindness for thousands of generations. So says Moshe. But Moshe in this particular, says that the Ramban, Moshe is not using that attribute of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, below his kirbit sila hazos, Avram, Yitzchak, or Yaakov, klal. We don't find anywhere in this that he's using that element of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, the Ramban doesn't explain why, don't have a reason for that, but for some reason he did not want to get involved in the traits of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov here, possibly because, this is just my guess, just a guess, oh, never mind, let's keep reading. V'hatam, why does he not want to invoke Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in this particular tefillah? Ba'avor sheha'oretz nitna lo'avos, u'mehem yarshuha. Why were the Jewish people about to go into the land of Israel?
Because of the promise.
Because of the promise that Hashem made to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So since this is supposed to have been a fulfillment of the promise, and what are the Jewish people saying? We don't want to go into the land of Israel. V'heimardim ba'avosam. They are rebelling against their fathers. They don't want the gift that was given to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So you're going to invoke Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and say, in the merit of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, spare these people. These are people who are rebelling against Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Hashem has said, so you know what? I'm going to fulfill my promise to them through you, Moshe. So Moshe has got nothing to say about from Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. The problem is then the people have rejected themselves. They don't want it. They're rebelling against it. So therefore, says the Ramban, so MS, we don't want to go with MS. That's not going to be appropriate. Preserver of kindness for thousands of generations, that's a reference to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. These are people who have just outright rebelled against everything that they stood for, the desire that they had for the land of Israel, the promise that was made to them. They don't want, no, not going to go with that. And below his cure, what's left? Forgiver of iniquity, willful sin, and error. Now, what is error normally a reference to? Unintentional, exactly. Unintentional sin. So says the Ramban, well, you can't mention that. Bavor she'evu mezidin u'poshtim. These were very intentional and purposeful sinners. So therefore, the Ramban says, going now, I purposely have noticed that I skipped the top, couple to top, but we don't mention truth. We don't mention preserver of kindness for thousands of generations, which is a reference to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and we're not going to mention zechatah, an error, because that wouldn't be applicable here. But so what's left? So the first Hashem is out. So what have we not explained yet? The idea of rachum zechanun, compassionate and gracious. That would certainly seem to be appropriate here. Why would we not invoke Hashem's trait of compassion and of graciousness in this particular instance? So says the Ramban, the lo yodati lomo lo hizkir rachum dechanan. Not sure, he says, why those two traits were not included in Moshe's tefillah. What's with the graciousness, compassion, that we would not want to invoke that? Ulai, suggests the Ramban. Perhaps I could suggest the following. Ki hadin masuach aleihem v'lo yimcho li'oilam. The din, the measure of judgment, was so harsh and so severe against them. This sin of not wanting to go into the land of Israel was so enormous. This is what had been promised. This is what they were going for, to say to God. We didn't read inside their words, but when you read on Shabbos, as you go through, why did you take us out of Mitzrayim? Let's get first a new leader and return back over there. They are finished. God has, I said, I'm finished with you guys. I'm just going to wipe you out. Says the Ramban, Moshe understood the magnitude of judgment that was hanging over the people's heads, that they would never be entirely forgiven. As we see, God says these people are not going to enter into the land of Israel. You cry tonight a cry of nothingness, I'll give you plenty of years and things to cry about, which we have from the night of Tisha B'Av. Anyone between the ages of 20, they were not going to enter into the land of Israel. They got it. Even after Moshe succeeded in getting Solachti Kidvarecha, I have forgiven them according to your words. But Moshe understood it was a harsh din. L'chein, says the Ramban, lo bikesh rak arichos apayim. All that he really wanted was erech apayim, being slow to anger. Shelo yamisam ki'ish echa, that you shouldn't kill them all like one person. Velo yishchotem katzon bamidbar sheyamuthu b'magefa, that they shouldn't be killed out like in one instant, like sheep led to a slaughter in the desert in one big plague. That, because they did all die out, but they died out over 40 years. They didn't die out in a plague. Moshe knew that he couldn't get more than that. So what he asked for was being slow to anger. Give them a chance to live their life, to do tshuva as best they can. Don't kill them all out like this. Uva'avor shelo bikesh ata ela arichos apayim. And since the focus of Moshe's plea was not rachum, was not compassionate, it wasn't gracious, it was just be slow to anger. Omar lo salachti kidvarecha. Moshe gets the response. Hashem says to him, I have forgiven them according to your words. She'eye lohem erech apayim v'rav chesed. I will be slow to anger and abundant in kindness. That is the Ramban's approach. So with this, I'm answering the two parts altogether. Number one, the Ramban explains the abbreviated list. He explains why things are missing. And in doing so, some were obvious. Truth, no, we're not going to go there. Preserver of kindness, not going to go there. Error, not going to go there. Why don't we go with compassion and graciousness? Says the Ramban, I suggest, not sure, I suggest Moshe focused directly on number 6. He skipped everything up to that, except for the first Hashem, that second Hashem, which is after the sin. He skipped compassion, slow to anger. His focus is, don't kill them in a plague. what are the people going to say if they all die out in a plague? What are the people going to say if you slaughter them like they're going to say you can't do it? Be slow to anger. Don't wipe them out. So how does the Ramban interpret Hashem's response of Salachti kidvorecha, I have forgiven you according to your words? So Ramban, as I said before, I'll read it again. Ba'avor shelo bikesh ata ela arichos apayim. Since he's only requesting being slow to anger, Amar lo salachti kidvorecha. That's why I said I have forgiven him according to your words. You who understand what to be focused on, according to you I have forgiven him. On that being slow to anger, I'll give them 40 years. That's how the Ramban addresses that. Whew, how are we doing so far? Says Rashi, not like this. Rashi has another interpretation. I know, my goal is to confuse you. So you walk out of here like, what is going on? Rashi, I want to show you a small little Rashi and then try to explain it as best I can based on my understanding of others who have tried to do so before me. If you look on, I'll read it later. If you want to read Rashi, it's a 5 or 6 word Rashi in Pasuk Chaf. It's in your first column on page 806, for those who want to look at it inside. 3 lines from the bottom of the first column, Kidvorecha, according to your words, I have forgiven them, or I have forgiven according to your, or because of your words. Bishvil ma she'amarta, because of what you said, she'yomru mi bilti yecholas Hashem. Because of the first section of Moshe's argument, because of what you said to me, that they will say, I wasn't able to bring them in. So whereas the Ramban understood, what does God mean when he says, I have forgiven because of your words? It's because of sections 2 and 3 that you understood. You need to ask for Erech HaPayim. You need to focus on just be slow to anger. Give them a chance. I understand that, says Hashem. I saw you skip down to meet the number 6. You skipped all the beginning ones. You went straight to Erech HaPayim because that's your focus. I have forgiven because of your words. I understand. Good. Rashi says, no. Salachti kidvorecha goes all the way back to the first thing that Moshe said, ignoring Moshe's direct plea in section 3, forgive them, ignoring section number 2 in which Moshe invokes some of the 13 midos. You know why I have forgiven you? I have forgiven you because of your words of what is everybody going to say if I wipe them out? Now Maral explains, how did Rashi know this? How did Rashi know to go back to section number 1? So Maral explains, it's unbelievable how every word, salachti, what's the word that Hashem uses? Kidvorecha. What's the root of that word? Davar, dibor.
So the
not that. Rashi learns from the word dibor, like to speak. Rashi learns we have different words used for prayer and for harsh statements. Dibor is not a word of prayer. It's not a word of supplication. It's a harsh word. You speak when you speak kashos, when you speak harshly. The Torah uses the word dibor. So if Hashem says, I have forgiven kidvorecha, according to your word, using that word, he could have just said salachti. Because what was the last thing that Moshe just said in section number 3? Salach no lavon ha'mazeh. Forgive these people. So Hashem should have responded, salachti, I have forgiven. But that Hashem said, Salachti kidvorecha. So the Maral understands from there, that's how Rashi knew which one was Moshe's harshest word. Moshe says to him, not when he says, invokes in prayer, please remember what you taught me with the 13 midos. Section number 3, forgive them. No. Hashem is referring to what Moshe said to him. What are they going to say about you, God? You can't do this. If you do this, they're going to say you don't have any strength. They're going to say that you couldn't do it. Couldn't handle the 31 nations. That's dibor. That's speaking harshly to our Creator. That, says Rashi, is what Hashem was saying. I will forgive them because of what he said. Because what are people going to say? What are the headlines going to be? Now that requires an explanation. This is Elaine's kasha. So that after all the 13 midos, and Moshe saying, forgive them, Hashem says, I will, because what's it going to be? What are they going to say? I'm not going to do it justice, but the idea is basically as follows. It's a very powerful idea, and we see from here just when we invoke this over and over and over again, Yom Kippur time, we'll see, I think, I hope, a little bit of what it is that we're trying to invoke. Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, the Sefer of the Pachad Yitzchak, he was the great Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin in New York in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, probably late. I think he died in the 80s, actually. Tremendous giant of Torah thought, giant. So he writes a whole long piece, and he explains basically as follows. We have various thoughts in which Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo, everything that Hashem created in this world is l'chvodo bara. He created it for His honor, for His glory. He doesn't need this world. He had plenty of spiritual existence and worlds and angels beforehand. What did He create this world of finite human beings and all the pain and suffering and all? Why did He create this for us? So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says clearly, based on the Mishnah, the Pasuk in Tanakh, I did it for my honor, for my glory. That everything in this world is going to somehow be a manifestation of God's glory through the finite, through the tangible, physical existence that we have. We are somehow going to invoke that. The Pasuk says, Atem Edai. The Jewish people are the witnesses. We are the witness people. We really are. Christians try to put that in a negative light, but we are. We are the witness people. It is through the Jewish nation that we bring God's honor and glory to this world, because we're the only people holding on to His Torah. Nations didn't want it, and we have it, and we hold steadfast to it for thousands of years, trying to create and mold ourselves into a people that are the embodiment of that. As long as we are here, so then God's presence is also represented in this world. If the Jewish people would not be here, so Rav Funda writes a poetic lashon, he writes poetic language, he says, if the Jewish people wouldn't be here, my mouth can't even write what would be. Okay, well, then what? There's been a relationship created between God and the Jewish people. It's a relationship in which we, in the physical world, are a manifestation, representation of everything that He is. And Moshe Rabbeinu touches on that and he says, what are they going to say about you if we are destroyed? If you knock off us, you're not going to be here. So it's not just so much that I care what people are going to say. I'm going to say, wow, you don't have any strength. You're going to, what are they going to say about you that you couldn't do because we're the same? If we're gone, you're gone. How can you possibly engage in a mass destruction of the Jewish people when we are the people through whom you are represented by? We are the people through whom who give you place in this world. And Moshe, in three different places, uses this argument. He uses this argument about the Chet HaEgel, and he uses it in the end of Parshas Ha'azinu as well, in which he describes that if God Himself, so to speak, testifies to the fact that He would destroy the Jewish people. Hold on one second, see if I could give you the exact. Yeah, I didn't find that, but let's. Yeah. I had said I will scatter them. This is Hashem Himself speaking. I had said I will scatter them. I will cause their memory to cease from man. Were it not that the anger of the enemy was pent up, lest his tormentors misinterpret, lest they say our hand was raised in triumph. Hashem Himself says, I would have wiped you guys out. I would have spread you out and dispersed you. But you know, I can't. I can't do that because the enemies will say, misinterpreting, our hand was raised in triumph. Because the relationship in the world is, when the Jews are exalted, God is exalted. When we are downtrodden, that's a statement against God Himself. Nobody says, ah, good, we got rid of the Jews. They don't say that. They said, oh good, we got rid of their God. That's just the nature of the relationship that has been forever created with the acceptance of the Torah and the covenant created between the Jewish people and Hashem. So that Moshe invokes this argument and says, what are they going to say? You know what they're going to be talking about? They're going to be talking like, you couldn't handle it. You wiped them out. Destroy them all. And it's not just us they're going to be talking about. They're going to be talking about you, and we go hand in hand. And you have to keep us around because we are you and you are us. we've been Kutshu Brichu V'Oraisa, the Yisrael Chadru, Hashem, the Torah, and the Jewish people are all one. And that relationship, that responsibility of testimony that the Jewish people shoulder is at times our salvation, in which we invoke this idea that says you have to keep this around. Salachti kidvarecha. And we invoke this Yom Kippur time over and over and over again, this idea, you have to forgive us, kidvarecha. As Rashi learns that. Now Ramban understood that to mean because of your trait of being slow to anger. But Rashi understands, salachti kidvarecha, I've forgiven you according to your words that said, what are they going to say? And we know this from our own experience in the last 60 years as we came out of the Holocaust. What's the question that everybody always addresses? No, where was God? No one says of the Jewish people were awful. Look at the sinners. It always comes back to where was their God? Because this relationship has been forever created. Emotion invokes that. And it says you can't wipe them out. You can't. And Hashem says, Salach Tikid Varecha. Now, I didn't continue reading, but when you read on Shabbos, you'll see, he says, you'll see the people who were involved, they're not going to survive, they'll die out. But as a Jewish people, we weren't wiped out. As a Jewish people, we survived. Next generation came, and we continued on. We were not wiped out as was God's initial intention. Salach Tikid Varecha. So in summary, what we have is there a three-part plea from Moshe. Number one, he opens up and he says, what are the Mitzrayim going to say? What are the Egyptians going to say? They're going to say, Mibli Yecholas Hashem, without you didn't have the ability. Either like Rashi says you weren't strong enough to tackle 31 nations, or like the Ramban learns that they're going to say the gods of Canaan were too strong for you. But either way, they're going to be talking about you, and how can you have them say that? And then he goes into 6 of the 13 attributes saying, invoke those attributes and spare them, concluding with the direct plea of, Slach no la'avon ha'amadah, forgive the iniquity of this people. To which Hashem responds, Salach tikid varecha. So the Ramban understood, Salach tikid varecha, I have forgiven them according to your words who focused on the 6 of the 13, who focused specifically on Erech Apayim, amongst others, being slow to anger, knowing that the Midah of Din, the attribute of justice, was heavy against them, and that's all that you could really hope for. So based on your plea, I have forgiven them. Rashi, whoever learns the Salach Tikid Varecha, I have forgiven them according to your words, is going back to your initial plea of what are they going to say, which, again, I have not done justice to, but is at the core of that argument is the symbiotic relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem, that He is us and we are He, in terms of where He goes, we go, where we go, He goes. And how can you destroy us? It's not something that's possible, because what are they going to be saying about you when we end up destroyed?
Interesting what you said, we're the witnesses of Hashem, because you mentioned the Holocaust, and Hitler, Yimach Shmo, said in some of his works that the Jewish people are the inventors of the concept of God. So by wiping us out, he was wiping out the idea of God's name. That's exactly what he was trying to do.
100%. All right, wonderful afternoon, everyone.
Thank you. Can you kind of stand at the show a few members of the Jewish people who actually are the body that have this idea?
Yeah, 100%. We are a in the billions of the world population, it is a minute percentage of people who are carrying that torch. 100%.